bring Christian greetings to each of you this morning in the name of Jesus. Also bring you greetings from the brethren and sisters at Elm Street. It's good to be here again and share with you. I'm reminded as I look over the audience of change. It's been a while since we have been here, and I'm reminded how time brings change. Some familiar faces who we used to see here are no longer here. But I want to bless you for your involvement in church work and in spawning another congregation. God bless you as you work through all those feelings that may go along with that. For a message this morning, I have prayed about this and wasn't sure where God would lead me. There's been a thought that has been rolling around in my mind for some time, and I thought that I would take the route of bringing a sermon that I had preached somewhere before, but it seemed like God didn't let me rest with that, and I finally gave in and said, "Yes, Lord, if you want me to study on that subject, I will do that." And it's on that basis that I stand before you today. Why don't you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'd like to read verses 8 and 9. Our text is taken out of verse 8. The words of the wise man. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Let's keep on reading a little bit more here. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. I'm going to leave off reading there. The title of this subject this morning is Developing a Patient Spirit. Developing a Patient Spirit. Notice verse 8. Verse 8, second part of the verse. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I don't know why God had me bring this today. I think maybe it's because I needed it. Maybe I needed the study on it. I know I did. I have a burden that maybe the society in which we live is rubbing off on us. Just maybe. Maybe you are very patient. Maybe you never struggle with the proud spirit. Maybe you do not struggle with being hasty in your spirit to be angry. Think with me just a moment about the society and the culture of which we find ourselves. This culture in which we find ourselves is one that delights in instant gratification. What is instant gratification? It is the need to experience fulfillment without any sort of delay or wait. It's a quote I found. Fulfillment without any source of delay or wait. Yesterday I passed a billboard that, and I wished later I would have looked at it closer, because it was late in the day when I submitted myself to studying this. But I saw a billboard that said, swipe right faster. I don't know what, maybe some of you have seen that. I don't know what it was getting at, but I'm thinking it means that, I don't know, maybe it was an app or something. I didn't look at it, but something you could do faster. Consider this. Today, I'm told that when people go on a website or they go on their phone and look, pull up a site. Let's say you want to purchase something from Amazon. And you go on the site and it takes longer than 2 to 3 seconds to open up. You move on. It's too slow. Now, maybe you don't do that. But in general, they tell us that that's what society is doing. It's taking too long. Let's get to something that works. I mean, after all. Instant gratification. You see, the sellers today are understanding that if they're going to sell to the culture, the millennium generation today, they have to be there right now. They have to be there fast, because they're not going to wait. How fast can I get my package? When will it be delivered? Instant gratification. But is it also true that today we live in an anxious society? We live in an anxious culture? People are anxious. Why are they anxious? Well, you see, an impatient person is also an anxious person. Begins to worry, begins to fret. How about it when you're waiting to pull out of the traffic light? Or you're waiting to pull out, not in a traffic light, you're waiting to pull out onto 23 at Leola, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon and you want to go home to your family. And there are lots of vehicles coming. I have been told by a former boss that if you wait long enough, you will get a clear spot to pull out. And that's really true. Being a former truck driver, he wasn't particularly fond of us pulling out in front of traffic, you know, taking a chance. But I ask this question. Is the society and the culture that we find ourselves as Christian people living in, rubbing off on us and on our relationships and on our expectations? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Developing a patient spirit. I like to look at the message in basically three areas. What is a patient spirit? Some Bible examples, and maybe some helps to grow in patience. Now let's notice this just a bit. What does it mean to be patient in spirit? Patient means that I am able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. I'm able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Some synonyms to this would be forbearing, uncomplaining, tolerant, resigned. Patience implies enduring suffering or delay, Now listen to this, if you can. Patience implies enduring suffering or delay as a determination of the will, not just of necessity. See, I'm trying to take this idea of patience. Just think about it for a little bit. It is a determination of the will, and not just necessity. At around 3 o'clock this morning, I was awakened. I think I was sleeping. The daughter, one of the younger children, came into our room, and I had a scary dream and hopped in bed, you know. You been there? Incidentally, I hadn't gone to bed real long before that. I'm not resting real well. What I was studying was right there, staring me in the face. Because when a little person is wiggling and I want to sleep, can you go to your room? I'm scared. You see, I need to make a conscious effort of my will to be patient. It's so easy to become impatient. It's so easy. And so easy. You see, to be patient in spirit is to be opposite, or to be patient in spirit is opposite of a proud spirit. It's opposite. They're diametrically opposed to each other. A proud person is generally not a patient person. And we'll notice that in a bit. What does spirit mean, patient in spirit? The Bible calls this, well, the idea of patience, I should have said this before. The word patience is used, there's two words that are typically used in the Bible. One of them has to do with long suffering, where you are. Long suffering has to do with my current acceptance or endurance of disappointment related to other people's actions or treatment that affect me. That's long suffering. And that's one definition the Bible gives of patience. Another one has to do with accepting my current position in relation to my dream of the future as it relates to the circumstances of life. All right. So, just maybe you have a dream, dad and mom, that someday you would like to have a larger house, a little bit more room for the family. It's a dream of yours. You would like that. But you need patience as this works out. Perhaps you are working with a fellow employee who, for whatever reason, or maybe it's, yeah, you can give your own example of things where you need to exercise patience. You need to be long-suffering and forbearing in how people are relating to you. And what your expectations are and what you think it should be, and it's not quite meeting that, but you're forbearing and you're long-suffering. Developing a patient spirit. I wonder today how patient our homes really are. I wonder how patient mom and dads are. I wonder how patient dad is. I wonder how patient mom is. I wonder how patient siblings are. I wonder how patient pastors are. I wonder how patient the president is. I wonder how patient. You see, a character of the Christian man is patience. It's a virtue. And we know that little jingle that goes on. I'm not going to say that here, but Patience. What is it? Okay, now let's look at this spirit. Patient. Patient in spirit. Spirit means this idea, this word spirit, has a definition of breath. Wind. A sensible or even violent exhalation. You know what it is to exhale? You know, you... That's part of the meaning. Listen to this. Expressions and functions of a rational being. I take from this that each of us sitting here, from our person and our character of who we are as a person, we are portraying a spirit about us. We are portraying a spirit about us. As you move about society, as people know you, as your church brothers and sisters relate to you, there is a spirit about your person that travels with you. I ask the question, am I known as a patient in spirit person, or am I known as a proud in spirit? It's going to make a difference in church life. I thought of the song, "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou dost do." What is the spirit of a person? It's the expressions and functions of his life. And it reveals to others the nature of the spirit within him. I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 9, as we talk about this point, and we'll move on here shortly. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 9, and notice what Jesus tells his disciples. You see, sometimes, pretty often, I think, we maybe do not understand the spirit that we are of. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 56. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. I love that. I love the heartbeat of Jesus. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Developing the spirit of patience is interested in saving lives of people. And it's not in our own power, but you know what I mean? It's words of life, not words of death. Jesus said, "You do not know what spirit you are of." To be patient in spirit means that I am willing to wait. Lamentations 3, verse 25, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." The child of God who possesses within the spirit of patience is one who has learned to cast his care upon the Lord. Psalm 55, 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Cast our care. You know, we have a choice when situations come. And I'm thinking of this message in relation to the circumstances of life that are outside of the control, outside of our control. Where we have one option over here to rebel against it and to not accept it and to become bitter And we have another option over here to just resign ourselves to it. Casting our burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. God's desire is that we do not carry these things ourselves, but to cast them on Him. And it produces a patient spirit. I like this quote that I came across in relation to a patient spirit or patience. It is reliance on God, resting in His will, and trust in His goodness and wisdom. Luke 21:19, impatience possess ye your souls. Impatience possess ye your souls. I'd like to look now, move on to some Bible examples of patience. And as I studied this message, I there's a whole other part to this too. It's never right to be impatient, is it? To be rash with our spirit. With the spirit of impatience. But there is a point of where God's justice operates. Patience operates within His justice. God does have a law for us. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, as we train our children, patience is not complacency, is what I'm trying to say. Just being complacent and, well, can't really do anything. That's not patience. We must teach and we must train. We must exhort each other daily. We understand that. That's not my subject. Bible examples of patience. The first one that I thought of, and there are so many of those, but Jesus is our great example of a patient man. God man, if you will. Turn with me to John chapter 7. As I studied, I was moved. As I consider Jesus, John chapter 7 and verses 6 to 9. You see, circumstances. Jesus, the God-man, patiently waited for His time to come. Verse 6, John chapter 7, then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. Jesus was willing to wait until the time appointed of the Father. He was willing to move in conjunction with the Father's plan for Him. Jesus knew the journey He needed to walk. He knew that journey to Calvary. He knew the steps that lie ahead of Him. But yet patiently He endured them. He endured them one step at a time. Jesus' crucifixion reveals to us the highest level of love and long-suffering and forbearance that there ever was. A few pages back to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Can you hear the heart cry of Jesus? Verse 25, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus on the cross, submitting himself. The Creator. He created these men. Great example. Isaiah 53 and verse 7 talks about Jesus. He was as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. I'd like to move on to the next one, Bible example of patience, and that is Hannah, the mother of Samuel. 1 Samuel 1, you can read the story. But Hannah's lot was a bitter one. Maybe there is someone today who is, maybe there's someone here who is experiencing the turmoil of being childless. And her lot was a bitter one. Her adversary provoked her and made her miserable. Life was miserable. But Hannah reveals to us a patient spirit. She surrenders to God, and she comes and she prays and pours out her heart to God. And remember Eli, he looks on her and he says, Woman, what's your problem? But she responds and says, I'm not drunk. But here is my situation. I would like if we could read just a verse or two here in 1 Samuel chapter 2. No, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah poured out her soul to God in prayer. She was a miserable woman before. She pours out her soul to God in prayer. Notice verse 18. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Her countenance was no more sad. Before, she wasn't eating well. A patient spirit is developed by a surrendering of our dreams to the sovereignty of God. Surrendering our dreams to the sovereignty of God. Ahab stands in stark contrast to this. Remember when he wanted Naboth's vineyard? What did he do? He asked Naboth for this vineyard, and Naboth said, No, I'm not going to sell it. And Ahab went home, and he turned his face towards the wall and pouted. We could think of Job, man of patience. James chapter 5 tells us, Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Psalm 93:12, Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. We cannot imagine the intense suffering of Job and what he must have went through. His own wife counseling him to curse God and die. The patience of Job. What did Job say? The Lord gives and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I say that? In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I say that a patient spirit, we're talking about developing a patient spirit. I say a patient spirit, and you could think of it in contrast to a proud spirit, but a patient spirit has a proper view of material possessions. When I become impatient, am I not also unthankful? Really, at the core of things? Psalm 62, verse 10b says, "If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." One of the dangers of a materialistic focus is an elated view of self and position. And we call that pride. Really, how patient am I when it comes to the things that I call my own? But they're not my own. I'm only a steward of what God has given me. Contrast Job's view of his possessions to that of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar said, he's walking through the kingdom and says, "This great Babylon that I have built. This great Babylon that I have built." A proud heart is a destructive heart. It's a selfish heart and an impatient one. We can think of Paul and Silas. They were beaten. They were thrown in jail. They were patient in spirit. There was a great earthquake. It was their chance to escape. After all, they could be free and they could run and go find relief of their sore backs. But no, they were singing and praising God. And not only them, but the other prisoners were there with them. Their focus was not on themselves, but on God, and they had concern for the jailer. A patient spirit runs counter to the spirits of the world. I'd like to notice, lastly, just for a few minutes, helps to grow in patience. We looked at some of those as we were going along. Maybe we could say some helps to grow or some evaluations of our own heart. Number one, we must remember that God is the source of true patience. Therefore, we must seek Him. Romans 15. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." God is the source of patience. We must feed on His Word. We must be connected with God in a relationship and heed His voice. James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4 tell us, not in these words, but this is the idea, that we grow in patience as we embrace the trials. There was a man who came to his pastor and said, "Pray for me that I can have more patience." The pastor said, "I will pray for you that you can have more trials." "No, pray for me that I can have more patience." "I will pray for you that you can have more trials." The trials of our faith work patience. The natural response of us is to escape trouble. But God uses these things to mature us and to mold us for His service. Number three, growing in a patient spirit requires trust in the sovereign hand of God. All these examples that I have given were examples of individuals who looked beyond their own self and the pain or the experience of the moment to God. Hebrews chapter 12, "Run with patience the race set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. A trust in the sovereign hand of God. There's more we could say on that. Number four, humility is essential for one to grow and develop in a spirit of patience, being humble, a proper view of ourselves. Number five, I must seek to forgive the trespasses of others rather than have a spirit of revenge. Seek to forgive. And as I pondered this point and thought about this, talking about developing patient spirit, seeking to forgive. When someone crosses your path, when someone pulls out in front of you, when the child does a misdemeanor, or when your spouse disappoints you, what is your first reaction? What is the snap of your finger? What comes? Are your thoughts under the obedience of Christ? It is better to have a spirit of patience than a proud spirit, a patient of spirit. I think of the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And I think of the actions of the father. I believe that the prodigal son's father was a patient man. I believe he was patient, and we see it in how he related to the returning prodigal and also how he related to the elder brother. Biblical forgiveness is shown in both action and attitude. It is shown in both action and attitude. If I have trouble forgiving, I will have trouble being patient. If bitterness is growing in my heart, it begets more. We must be people of forgiveness. We could think of the story of Joseph. It's a beautiful story. We're not going to turn there for sake of time. When Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, and the scripture will tell us that his brothers were amazed, like, this is Joseph. And they didn't talk. And then Joseph is overwhelmed with emotion, and he embraces them and he cries. And after that, they talk. They talk. I think it's a beautiful picture of forgiveness, reconciliation. But you know, Joseph had a journey that he went through. It wasn't instant gratification, was it? I'd like you to turn with me in conclusion to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 5 to 11 as conclusion to this meditation. Exhortation for us as Christians. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 11. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A cultivation of Christ-like virtues will produce fruitful living. A cultivation of Christ-like virtues will produce fruitful living. Fruitful living is essential for gaining entrance to heaven. Fruitful living is made possible through acceptance of Jesus and walking in his light. I would just like to end with a thought again. Developing a spirit of patience. I am not advocating complacency or that everything goes. I am saying that the Bible calls us to be responsible for our actions as it relates to other people. Let us pray.